It's your host, Little Nina of Let's Discuss Books. Yes, we are here on season two. So I'm part of a couple of book clubs on Facebook, and I came across a really cool book that I love. It's called With the Fire on High. I love it, and I want to share with you all my book review. And gosh, I love this book, and I really want to read some more by the author by the name of Elizabeth Acevedo. So stay tuned on Sunday so I can share with you all my book review. And you guys know what to do: share and promote. Yeah, and stay tuned. I love the support. And peace. It's your host, Little Nina. Oh, Let's Discuss Books. Here we are on season two. Yes, it's fall. I want to sit up here and share with you all some good books that are like chiller books, horror type of genre type of books. But I ran into this book called With the Fire on High, and it's one of the books that we are reading in our book club on Facebook, and I managed to get through it pretty quickly. And plus, I was listening to it on Audible, but it was actually good. So I was like, let me squeeze this in during this season, this episode, and before I get to my chiller novels or whatever discussions I want to discuss with you all on my podcast throughout the this season. So I really enjoy this novel by Elizabeth Acevedo, and it's called With the Fire on High. Very great novel. I love the author. I read her other book, Clap When You Land. And I think I gave that novel like a 3 out of 5. Because I like poetry, but I'm one of those people that like to go and see the person who's doing the whole poetry thing. But the book, I was kind of like, I too much didn't care for it, but I wanted to give the author another chance. So I came across this book, and actually it was in a book club, and I was like, yes, perfect timing. And I can squeeze this in during my season when I'm doing my podcast for the fall. So I was like, okay, I can go ahead and squeeze this in, because of course we have like I don't necessarily celebrate the holidays, but you know, you got the holidays coming up and there's food involved. And when I was reading this novel, it makes you want to go eat something, because she was tossing out some ingredients and some ideas. You'd be like, I'm going to go ahead and try that. When I was listening to this book, I was like, I'm going to go ahead and try it. My fat self. I'm going to go ahead and try it. But the main character of the novel name is Imani Santiago. She's a 17-year-old. She has a 3-year-old daughter by the name of Emma. And the child's father is very stable. He's in her life. They both young. And his mom pretty much is kind of like a high-powered lawyer. And she's just like, she don't step in too much. But she is kind of like overprotective and want to gain custody, because she feels like Imani is not suitable to take care of her daughter. And she's 17, you know. When you're 17 years old, there is a lot that's against you. You know, you can get a job, but taking care of a child at that age, you don't get 17-year-olds, you don't have a car. And if you do have a car, it's kind of like you can only drive it back and forth to school, and that's it, you know. And then also, you're going to make minimum wage, because you're not no college graduate yet. You haven't graduated from high school yet, unless you graduate early. But you don't get paid enough, so it's kind of hard. And I think with Imani, she's doing real good. Like, she's already helping out her grandmother, which she goes by Abuelo. She's doing real good. And most 17-year-olds, they don't sit up here. And nowadays, I ain't gonna say all of them, but some will still go to school, leave their child at home with their grandparents and call it a day. Or they sit up here and either get an abortion. there's some of the options that's out there that some kids are just like, I don't want to deal with it. I'm going to get an abortion, or I'm going to leave this child home with my mom. She don't care because she wants to, she don't mind taking care of kids. That's just the mind thinking of these kids nowadays. That's just how it is. You got a lot of grandparents that are my age anyway, that's in our 30s. There's grandparents at the age of late 30s now, where when I was coming up, my grandmother was in her 60s. And now it's like, shoot, I'm 38 and I consider a grandparent now, you know? And so when we talk about Imani, she's 17 years old and she's going to school and she's helping out her grandmother. And she don't have a car. She gets on the bus and she does the dang on thing. She really don't go out any places, and she really her main focus is taking care of business and making sure her little girl is okay. And her child's mother is like, I don't think that you, she just feels like she's not suitable to take care of her own daughter. So it's just of her grandchild, I should say, which is crazy. But we can go on and on and talk about that. Then she has her best friend, Angelica. Angelica is an upcoming artist. She's good at what she does, and she's been her support system of Imani. But they both attend the school. And Imani, she's an upcoming culinary. She wants to be in the chef, like the culinary industry. She wants to be a chef. And during this, when she's in school, her school announced this program where she joins this class of culinary arts. And they'd be able to go to Spain for a whole week or stuff. And that was a very great idea. So during her time she's in that class, she have to raise money because she can't afford to go for this class. So she does anything that she can as far as fundraising, see if she could pick up more hours while maintaining her mom life at home, being a mother. So she does all this at the age of 17 and dealing with stuff at school for us, like boy questions. And not only that, is to deal with her child's father. And I don't think he's so much of a pain. I think when she meets like a new guy in this novel, in this book, she will mention his name is McCall. He feels some type of way, you know. He'd be like, don't bring my kid around no other men. I don't like that. And she's like, hold up, but it's okay for you to go out here and bring my daughter around other women. So she put a stop to that. I love Imani because she's about her business. She's like, hold up, how you gonna tell me that I can't bring my daughter, which I don't, around other men? I don't bring my daughter around other men. Matter of fact, I don't even date. I just want to get done with school, complete it, and go ahead and follow out with my dreams. And that's what she does. Like, she's more on point on what she wants to do. She already have her life set. She's already applying for colleges and stuff like that. So all this is kind of like a weight that's being weighed upon her, and she keeps going. She doesn't stop. She doesn't give up. There's one time in the book that she does kind of get, what's the word I'm looking for? She kind of get let down just based off the criticism from her teacher, because he being hard, and her teacher sees something in her. So he going to be hard on her because he sees something in her that he knows that she can do. So she kind of took some time off from class and stuff like that. So yes, I mean, being 17 years old, 17 and pregnant, this is not like no 16 and pregnant that you guys see on TV and these girls have money, okay? No, this is like real life. 17 and pregnant, have to juggle jobs. Not only that, she have to juggle going to school, applying for colleges. Also, her grandmother is tired as well. Her grandmother's like, I'm tired of raising kids. I just want some time for myself. That's how she look at it. I'm tired of raising kids. I want some time for myself. And Imani understands that, you know. She understands that, and she wants to take care of her family. She's more of a family-oriented kid, you know. And that's what's so inspiring about her. She's all about business and wanting to take care of her daughter, making sure her daughter isn't wanting for nothing. And that's the goal of Imani, making sure everybody is good. I mean, she has a great support system, her grandmother, her brother, her aunties, and her friend, even McCall, which is a guy that she met during this whole process. And just, gosh, she has that support system. And nowadays, in the real world, instead of just this fiction thing, most young women doesn't have that. That 17 years old, some of them doesn't have that, and they focus is taking care of their child and going to school and working, and they get it done. There are some teenagers that were able to get it done, but it's hard, and they don't have a support system. I remember my mama told me that she got her own apartment when she was 16 years old. That was back in the day, and I'm pretty sure back in the 1950s, it was pretty easy getting their own apartment, where now it's kind of hard. You have to be 21 and older to get a place now. So unless you have somebody that can sign for you to in order to get you an apartment, because it's hard taking care of a child. I mean, when I say you have to be financially stable, man, you have to, because kids will drain you. If you want the best for your child, you'll go broke. Unless you're like a Puff Daddy or a Eve or a who else? Kim. Oh, I don't want to say Kim Kardashian, because I want to punch her in the straight. I'm sorry, I don't like the Kardashians at all. But anywho, I don't like the Kardashians. But I'm just saying, unless you're born with a silver spoon in your mouth, it's going to be kind of easy taking care of your child if you have the money, if you're a millionaire or you're a billionaire, where if you're like a middle class and below, it's definitely hard, because you have to make sure, you got to think about insurance, taking time off from work from just in case your child might end up catching a cold. And you know there's COVID going around, so you don't know how long you have to be off from work to quarantine in order to take care of your child. Clothes, because kids constantly is growing every single day. Then also you have to worry about parent-teacher conferences. Did I mention clothes, shoes? And if they're a baby, you have to worry about, unless you're breastfeeding, you're fine, but you still have to take a break and pump. There's a lot of stuff. And then you have to go to work with your breasts all tender, leaking. So you have to take time and make it work where you can sit down and be able to pump to get that milk out. And then also, there's, if you're not with the father, you have to think about good co-parenting. If he's able to pick the child up, if he's able to fit, it's just a lot of stuff. Even if you're a family, you still have to think about food, Similac, all that stuff. It's just a lot, and it's definitely a lot. So you can only imagine a teenager that goes out and, have sex and have a baby, because it happens, okay? It happened. There's nothing you can do about it. So you can only imagine. Only thing is left up for that teenager is to decide on what he or she is going to do at that moment. If they decide to even keep the child, it's a whole bunch of thoughts that runs through their head that they have to think about. So if they decide to keep the child, then they have to think about jobs and stuff like that, or who's going to take care of their child while they're at school. And if they do have a great support system, that's already taken care of. But you have to put into thought about these jobs, because if you're 17, they're only going to get paid minimum wage, unless it's like a job that pays you underneath the table. And that's it. And you could do pretty good by doing that. But these jobs nowadays will pay a 17-year-old minimum wage, and then they have to figure out to survive just based off of that, to take care of themselves and their child. And if they have to help out their home, their parents, you know. They have, sometimes they have to help out their moms or their grandparents to take care of some of the bills in the house because they no longer can afford it. Because nowadays, cost of living is going up. Cost of living goes up all throughout the year, especially if you talk about gentrification. I mean, all that stuff is going up high. So the kids are, it's left up to the teenagers. They're like, I don't want to see my parents stressing out, so I'm going to try to step in and help. And especially if I have a kid, there's some of the thought process that goes on with these kids. They think about stuff like that. Well, some of them. Not all of them. But that's a lot. And most people are like, well, shoot, they step out there and have sex. This is what all happened. Of course, you can say that. Yeah, they're teenagers. Their hormones is all over the place. Okay, it happens. They're going to end up having sex. They already know what's going to happen once they have sex. They're going to either, if they protect themselves, it's a chance they can still get pregnant. But I'm pretty sure they know that if I'm going to have sex, this was going to happen. I'm going to either have a baby or something else is going to happen. They're going to have to decide. So they already know the outcome of having sex. It's already out there. And stuff like that. It's just how it is. Kids gonna start having sex once their hormones start. Once they learn about it and their hormones is getting out of control, you have to have that talk with their kids. But there are some parents that just don't have no talks with them, or pretty much as fast and like, okay, you do whatever you're gonna do. Or just don't have that talk with their child. It's just out there. So now we have children out here that are raising children. It's just simple. So now us being an adults, we want to push out there and say, hey, look, we know that sex is out here and you're gonna have sex, and 2 times out of 10 you might have a baby. Now it's up to you and what you're gonna do. Yes, your life stops because you have to take care of this child. And then you also have to look about, are you gonna finish school? Are you gonna do this? Are you gonna do that? So it's a lot. It's definitely a lot. Okay, it's not like on 16 I'm Pregnant on MTV. They don't pay you for this, okay? This is something you don't get paid for. Because them girls, I don't know what MTV was thinking about when they put 16 and Pregnant out, okay? That show just shows people, go ahead and get pregnant. Yes, you will have the money, because MTV, what they was doing, all they was doing is sit up here paying these kids. That's all. All of them get paid to be on that show. That's all what it is. All of them got paid to be on that show. It doesn't show how hard it is, because if it's left up to me, I would be that person filming. I'm not going to pay y'all. Just sign right here so I can just be a part of your life and tell me what you do so you can show people how hard it is. Nah, all they did was sit up here and let people know, oh, you can get paid just to get on TV and just have the cameras come in and let them view your life. And then I'll give you $16,000 here and there. Come on now. And it's, you choose on what you're going to do. But nah, this book right here basically is very good. It lets you open into another life. I'm sorry, y'all. I'm up here messing up my words. But anyway, it shows you a life of, like, yes, 17. You guys go to school, take care of your child, and I gotta help my grandmother. Yes, it's hard. Imani barely had time for herself. And if she did, it was like towards the end, and when she went to Spain, that was her time to herself. But that was something that she needed, because all she was doing was going to school and taking care of her daughter. That was her main goal, was taking care of her daughter and making sure her daughter was okay. Is okay, not was, but is okay. And she wants the best for her child, as anyone else wants, you know, their child to be better than them and be fine financially. But I love this book. Elizabeth did a wonderful job writing this book, and I loved it. I hope you all enjoy my book review. It seems like it was kind of like all over the place, but hell. This is my podcast. But yes, it shows a different light. It shows a light, not a different light, but it also brings back memories of how my friends, when they got pregnant while they was in high school, we didn't see them. When I was in school, I had a friend that got pregnant, but they had to go to night school. They wasn't able to attend school with everybody else. They had to go to night school because during the day, I think they had to go to work in order to take care, you know, so they can take care of their child and whatnot. But definitely, I had friends that had jobs around once I hit high school. At 15, a lot of my friends went to work. They had to go to work at McDonald's, Burger King. I know my cousin, her first job was at the zoo. And I was so mad because I really want to work at the zoo because I wanted to see all the animals. But anywho, my cousin's first job was at the zoo. And they paid her pretty good. But then after that, she went to KFC. And then, you know, this is during her time in high school. I didn't have a job. I didn't start working until I was 18 years old. And my first job was working at a childcare center. And ever since then, I've been working. Where some of my friends, they worked at age 15. And that's from, I had friends that was working at a car wash place, which is called Turtle Rat Wax. And they had jobs. And all they did was taking care of their kids. And they wanted nice cars. That was how it was when I was coming up. They wanted nice cars. They wanted to sit up here and buy that old school car and call it a day. And they also wanted to take care of their kids. Because some of my friends that I went to school with already had kids coming into high school. You know, I had, I remember I was in eighth grade. No, when I first went to middle school. And I was in the sixth grade. And I seen somebody that was already pregnant and they was in the eighth grade. And I was like, dang. But after that, I didn't see them no more. So when they went off to high school, they was like, yeah, my child is already 2 years old. I'm like, dang. So, yeah, in my time, it was more so of once they got pregnant, it was straight to business of taking care of their children. And that was it. That was pretty much it, taking care of their children, and a lot of their parents had to step up. Nowadays, we have grandparents that's my age. I'm considered a grandparent. When I was coming up, my grandmother was 60 something years old. Now I'm 38. I'm considered a grandparent and I'm old. I'm like, what? Hold up, I'm 38 years old. I'm not old. I can be somebody's mom, but I'm not going to be nobody's grandmother. But that's the norm now. That is exactly the norm. And guess who is left up to take care of the kids? Us, the babies. So, yeah, today's society has definitely changed for the, not for the better, but it seems like it's getting worse because these kids is off the chain. They just need some morals and they need some act right. I can tell you that. They need some act right because, yep, it's almost time for me to get off of here. But yes, they need some act right. They don't have no morals or values. And this is what I love about this book, because Imani was very respectful towards her elders. She cares. She was nurturing. That's what I love about Imani. Very nurturing. And also, you guys need to go read that book. It's called With the Fire on High. But yeah, these kids nowadays is off the chain. They very disrespectful. They don't be respectful towards their elders. They will cuss you out in a minute. Too much shootings with these kids. They don't fight no more. They shoot you off of any little thing. You could look at them wrong. They pulling a gun at you and then shoot you. Like, what in the hell? I just looked at you. Yeah, bro. I don't like how you looked at me. Your face was all turned up. So I had to sit up here and pull my gack out and go, and these songs don't even make sense. Like, I'm telling you, these songs nowadays don't even make sense. Like, it just don't. I went to the store and I grabbed something. The little ad libs. I'm like, what? How you just go to the store? Yeah, it just don't make. Like, just, I miss the 80s and the 90s. And that was just the best era ever. Because now, I just don't understand. It's just drugs and alcohol and opioids. That's just really gotten to these kids. Opioids, it's how you say it. These little medical pain pills that these kids get on, and just drugs, period. And that's what's influenced these music. It's just crazy because it don't even make any sense to me. these kids don't have no morals or values about themselves. There are some out here that's very respectful, that hold the door open and say, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. I'll get in trouble if I say, no, or have an attitude. My mama knock my teeth out and then be on the floor. And she'd be like, you're going to be picking those teeth up too. That's how my mom is. But nowadays, these kids don't care. They don't care about nothing. My goddaughter had her first homecoming yesterday. I was so happy. She looks so pretty. Oh my God, she looks so pretty. Man, when I seen her, when I dropped her off at her homecoming, I see all these other kids. They look like they was going to the dang gone club. I was like, dang, my baby look like she look her age. But yeah, my baby was so cute though. But with the fire on high, the main character, Imani, is very smart. She has morals and values. And plus, I was hungry. Because, gosh, she was up here making some food. I was like, dang. And the ingredients, I was like, ooh, I need to get me something to eat. But I love this novel. Elizabeth Acevedo did really good with writing this novel. She wrote the other book I really too much didn't care about, which is called Clap When You Land. I really didn't too much care for it, but I like to give the author another chance by reading another novel. But definitely, I love this book. She brought this character, Imani, to life, because there's a lot of Imanis that's out here now. And that is trying to make something of themselves, take care of their kids, taking care of home, making sure everything is okay. That's a lot of Imanis out there. And not to mention, she really did had a good co-parenting. She did really well with co-parenting with her child's father, Tyrone, because you don't hear about that nowadays. It's always the deadbeat dad, and he don't want to take care of his seed. And all that stuff. Let's shed some light on, there are some good fathers, young fathers that is out there that want to take care of their kids, because he was very much so active in his child's life. Like towards the end, he was like, I really want to have my daughter for a week or so I can spend more time, because I feel like she's growing and I'm missing out. And that's what's up. You don't hear about that. Nowadays, you hear more so of a deadbeat guy and how he doesn't want to take care or be a part of his child's life, because at first his mom didn't believe that Emma was his, you know. But you get that when the mother usually find out when she first pregnant, everybody is more so in shock, or it's all these emotions come into part when the mother finds out that she's pregnant, okay. Everything. But once she was born, he stepped up. He's taking care of his child. Yes, he probably didn't want her to be around no other men, and she didn't say too much about it. It was just simple small stuff, but he is taking care of his child. And I'm glad that Elizabeth Acevedo shared some light on this young brother, because he did step up and take care of his daughter, where you hear in some other novels, he's a no good dad and he didn't come and take care. But nah, not in this novel. She actually shared some good light in this novel about this young brother that's actually still going to school and he wants to take part of his child's life. I really enjoyed that part about this novel, that she didn't actually bash this young brother and stuff like that. So I loved it. I love this novel. I recommend for you all to go pick it up. Even though it's a young adult novel, I really believe that anybody can read this novel, because you might be dealing with a child that is 17 years old and that's pregnant. And you're like, what am I going to do? How am I going to do this? It's just a lot of questions that goes into your head. And you want to read this novel because it kind of sort of help you understand what they're going to at the age of 17. It kind of shares some light on what they're feeling and how, what's going through their heads, if that makes sense, you know. But we're coming towards the end of this episode, and I would like for you all to follow me on Instagram for the Love of Books NKC. the number 4 Love of Books in KC. I also have a TikTok. It's a book TikTok. I share nothing but books on there. It's Lynn in KC 816, I believe. But let me actually check that out before I give that out. But I do have a Instagram for Love of Books in KC, the number 4 Love of Books in KC, all lowercase. And go ahead and share this on your social media. Go ahead and get that out. Share that all on your social media outlets, such as your Twitter, your Facebook, Instagram, and whatever outlets that you guys use. Go ahead and share this episode. Yes. Yes, go ahead and do that. We are at the end. I thank you all for tuning in on this episode of Let's Discuss Books. Stay tuned for next Sunday while I drop nothing but new episodes. Thank you. Peace. Stay blessed.